You're going to love this. Just love it.
Yeah, but I don't know if I will.
You might. I probably won't. It's just been that kind of a day. Stuck in the middle with you from Pacifica Radio's KPFK in Los Angeles. This is the Bradcast, as heard on 90.7 FM in LA, 91.7 FM KYAQ on the beautiful Oregon Central Coast, 93 FM WLRI in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and in other fine terrestrial affiliates in parts unknown. Talking to you, Hawaii, K-A-K-U. Also heard coast to coast and around the globe on kpfk.org. On the iTunes, streaming on the Progressive Voices channel, on Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, Radio or Not, Radio Free Brooklyn, and Radio Sputnik, amongst other fine affiliates. We are heard 5 days a week. And I hope you join us every single one of those days. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, broadcaster. Did I say muckraker?
Not yet.
Did I say troublemaker?
Yeah.
Did I say all-around swell fellow?
Not yet.
Swell-around swell fellow from bradblog.com.
At says you.
Says me, if not you. Welcome to another thrilling adventure. And it has been a thrilling adventure throughout the day today. This show today has changed, I don't know, 10 times as the day has worn on up until air. It could change mid-show, but that's what makes it exciting. That's what makes radio all the more exciting. That lovely voice you heard, by the way, is the lovely and delightful Desi Doyen. Hi, Desi.
Hi. I'm producer. On the edge of my seat waiting to find out what we are going to be talking about today.
Yeah, you have no
today.
Idea, do you? Some producer you are. You don't even know what you're producing today, although we do know that you are producing today's Green News Report.
This is true.
Which will be a little bit later in the broadcast with a lot of big stuff, actually. A very bad week, as you describe it. A very bad week for fossil fuels. Over the past week, from, let's see, Obama's rejection of the Keystone XL pipeline to a huge coal company caught in big trouble. This is the largest coal company in the nation, right?
Yes, Peabody? It would be considered the largest publicly traded coal company in the world.
So it's not in the world. Peabody
Yes, in
coal.
The world.
In
Peabody
the world.
Coal. Right.
All right. And that's different than Alpha? Coal
I think it's
resources.
Because, I'd have to go double-check, right. But I believe it's because Alpha is the largest in the U.S. and also is, I think it's privately owned, but that would be something I'd have to go look up now.
I know. Yeah, you do. See, I'm pressing everybody today. I'm pressing everybody to get their facts right because I really want to know the answers to so many questions. We go out of our way to get them right. Anyway, I'll get to that in a second. So let's see. Peabody Coal, they're in trouble. ExxonMobil. Looks like they could be storm clouds gathering for Exxon and what they knew and when they knew it concerning climate change as early as 1977. We've been talking about that a lot on this show. We're going to talk more about that later this week as well. And a second hurricane. What? A second hurricane hits Yemen?
Yeah.
In a single week?
Yeah.
Have they ever had a hurricane?
Well, not since reliable record keeping began in 1945, but yeah. Two hurricanes in 1 week.
In 1 week.
They didn't have any before.
In
so,
the Middle
yeah,
East.
That's not weird at all.
In the desert. Whatever. Yeah. Well, nothing to worry about. So all of that on the Green News Report with Desi Doyen a little bit later in the show. What else do we... corrections. Corrections first. I like to put the corrections right up front. When I get something wrong, I don't want to bury it at the back. I want to get it right out front. Yesterday, I was talking about the situation at Mizzou. With the college, or with the Missouri University And the protests going on, the African-American football players, actually the entire football team, Go Tigers, who say we ain't going to play no more until the university president resigns. They did resign, et cetera, et cetera. So, but in covering that story yesterday, I cited over at The Nation, Dave Zirin and his report, although I refer to him as Dave Zirin. So I was wrong. I want to make that correction. That came to us from a listener, Fred G, who says, it's Zirin, long I. He says, I know this for a fact. He has slept on my spare bed. I have hugged his sister. I don't know what that means. I don't know why he's hugged Dave Zirin's sister, but I have since confirmed that, and it is, in fact, Dave Zirin. My apologies to Dave Zirin for that error. Got that correction out of the way. All right, tomorrow, our big debate coverage coming up as Fox Business Channel is holding, oh boy, their GOP debate this evening, wherein Governors Chris Christie and Mike Huckabee have now been relegated down to the kiddie table debate. Their poll numbers apparently are so low, they don't even get to debate with the grown-ups, not even on Fox Business Channel. And if you think Fox News is a bunch of right-wing loons, buckle up for Fox Business Channel. I can only imagine where they are going. And in the kiddie table debate, by the way, Senator Lindsey Graham and Governor George Pataki, former governor of New York, they have both been tossed out entirely. They don't even get to participate at the kiddies table. So, which, by the way, I think is outrageous. I think it's ridiculous. It's outrageous. All of these candidates ought to be debating, whether they do it in two separate tiers, not tiers, but, you know, draw straws randomly in one debate for an hour, one group debate for an hour, the other group debate for the other hour.
Why do you feel that way?
Why do I feel that way?
Yeah, why should we bother to listen to all these people that, that obviously Fox News and the media feel shouldn't be running anymore because they don't want to give them any airtime. So why?
Well, it's up to you if you want to listen to them or not, but they should be presented to the electorate as opposed to basing this on national polls, which we don't, especially when you got, 15 different people in the race. But we don't run our elections on national polls. We run them state by state. So whatever happens in Iowa at the caucuses is going to make a huge difference for the rest of the primary. Whatever happens in New Hampshire, it's going to make a huge difference for the rest of the primary. And so to say that, we should base who gets to appear in these primary debates based on what some guy in South Dakota might think. Nothing against South Dakota, but I have no idea when they're even or if they even have a primary is ridiculous. And it's also a catch-22. You do better with amongst the electorate, amongst the people who are polled when you appear in a debate. And if you have low numbers, it might be because the American public hasn't seen you. So these people, they should all be out there. You're talking about serious candidates, as serious as anybody amongst that group of Republican candidates this year can be, but serious in that, well, it's a sitting senator, Senator Lindsey Graham. Governor George Pataki, three-term governor, I believe, of New York State. He should be in the debate. Anyway, we'll talk more about that tomorrow, because none of this is the main stuff that I was hoping to cover today, which is, again, elections. And actually, I was kind of hoping to not have to cover this today, but they keep pulling me back in. First off, last night's Daily Show, don't know if you saw it, but they did a very funny bit, a package piece for several minutes on how bad our voting machines are, how bad our voting system is, how ridiculous it is, how they are failing, how the machines break down, how they cannot be relied upon, these computers, not just the computers that people vote on, but the tabulators that count the votes. For example, when you vote on paper, kind of drives me nuts. I'm not doing my job because I haven't made this clear to people. When you vote on paper, when you vote on a hand-marked paper ballot, that's fantastic. However, it is still, in almost every case across this country, counted by a computer. Counted on a computer. Not by a human being. Not verified. counted by a computer. A computer, which, yes, as they talked about on The Daily Show, is not reliable, are breaking down, are very old. You know, many of them run, you know, Windows 95, maybe, if they're lucky. They're old systems. They simply fail. In many cases, they simply fail. They can also be gamed. They can be manipulated. They can be manipulated either by an election insider who has access at the polling place. They can often be manipulated from outside by a hacker. And there are various means that make it possible to get into these systems. Via the internet, via memory cards that are programmed and put in. There's all kinds of ways. There's all kinds of ways to get in and game the system if you're interested, if you want, if it's important to you, if there are, let's say, billions of dollars riding on the results, as is the case in almost every election. So they talked about that on The Daily Show. Great. Glad to see it. They one of the things they sort of were using as the centerpiece for their story was this report from the Brennan Center for Justice on America's failing voting machines that are getting old, that are aged, that, as Brennan Center says, need to be replaced. We had Larry Norden on this show a few weeks ago. He's the author of that report. Good to see him last night on The Daily Show. I agree with him that the machines are old. We need to get rid of them. I disagree that we need to replace them with other computers that have all of the same problems that the old computers have. But we had that out in the show a few weeks ago. You can stop by bradblog.com. You can look up the conversation with Lawrence Norden from the Brennan Report. Brennan Center for Justice. His appearance on The Daily Show was excellent. Very funny. These are on everyone's mind, and they're certainly on everyone's mind after what happened last week in the great state of Kentucky, the bluegrass state, the Commonwealth of Kentucky, when it looked like the Democratic candidate for governor was going to win and then ended up not winning. Looked like he was going to win based on the pre-election polls, which had him up 3%, 4%, 5%. And then the results came in showing that he lost by 9%. That the Republican won, the unpopular Republican candidate who had promised to take away health care for almost 500,000 Kentuckians. For some reason, that Tea Partier, guy by the name of Matt Bevin, ended up being announced the winner. The results in that race were not actually verified by human beings. Once again, a great deal of the state voted on hand-marked paper ballots. That's good. But then those paper ballots were run through the voting machine, through the tabulators, op-scan machines, which counted them either correctly or incorrectly. Nobody knows because nobody's bothered to check. I think people ought to check. this seems like a no-brainer to me. When it comes to elections, when it comes to billions of dollars. And apparently it's a no-brainer to a lot of people in Kentucky. Since we started talking about this last week, the day after the election, people are beginning to pay attention. People in Kentucky are beginning to pay attention. Over at change.org, there is now a petition calling on the Secretary of State to hold a hand count of those paper ballots that were cast last week in the race. Now, the Secretary of State is currently a Democrat, and she won last week, by the way. She won with tens of thousands more votes than were cast for the Democrat at the top of the ticket, Jack Conway, the popular Attorney General. Oh, and by the way, in the Attorney General's race, since Jack Conway was leaving to run for governor in the Attorney General's race, the Democrat won there as well by tens of thousands of more votes than was received by Jack Conway at the top of the ticket in the governor's race. Now, that can happen. It's possible. But who knows if it's accurate. So change.org, a petition, is calling for the Secretary of State, Allison Lundergan Grimes, to hold a public hand count of every ballot that was cast on November 3rd. Good. Very good idea. More than 10,000 people, almost 10,500 people have now signed this petition. Many of them are Kentuckians. This was put up by Concerned Kentucky Residents. So if you want, we'll link to it later on at bradblog.com. But if you want, just do a search for change.org and then in quotes, Concerned Kentucky Residents, and you should be able to find it. So there you go. That is what's continuing to happen in Kentucky. And this was picked up again today on the Tom Hartman program. I started hearing people saying that Tom's talking about you again. I was on last week to talk about this issue, and the petition here at change.org actually has a video of my interview with Tom Hartman to help encourage people to sign that petition. Tom made a good point that I think I'll bring up. I think we'll bring up after this break. We have some audio from his conversation as far as why it is that Democrats don't actually do anything about this, why it is that Democrats don't take action on these concerns. Now, I know I have a guess why Republicans don't take much action on it. But you know what? When they get a whiff of anything wrong, they love to pretend there's this massive voter fraud going on. No, it's election fraud that is the great concern, because that's how you flip thousands of votes, millions of votes in a second.
Election fraud being insiders.
Well, not necessarily. It could be an outsider. But it's flipping elections. It's not a voter, a single voter lining up to vote twice, which is what Republicans like to pretend is going on, or that somebody's voting in the name of someone else, and that's why we have to have photo ID restrictions that do nothing but keep legitimate voters, largely Democratic-leaning ones, from being able to cast their vote. So that's what photo ID restrictions do. Yeah, there is some voter fraud that goes on. It's usually via absentee voting. Or as in the case of Kentucky a few years ago, they were actually buying and selling votes. Massive conspiracy sent eight of the top election officials in Clay County, Kentucky to jail for collectively. They were sentenced to 156 years, including the county clerk, the district court judge, the school superintendent, all members of the election board in Clay County. And all Republicans, by the way. Actually, there was one guy who claimed to be a Democrat, but what they were doing was they were hiring people to register to vote as Democrats and then putting them in the polls so they could say, well, we got one Republican and one Democratic judge. Never mind that the Democratic judge was actually a Republican. Anyway, it was a mess. This was going on for decades in Clay County, Kentucky. So there is a rich history of election fraud in Kentucky, underscoring why we should count the votes, which may be right, by the way. Maybe the Republican did win. Maybe that happened. Maybe between, all of these independent polls that took place just days before the election, maybe something happened that nobody knows about to make everyone change their mind to go out and vote for Republicans. That could have happened. So all I say is, good, great, count the ballots, and then we will know. We got ballots in most of the state. Yes, some voters are forced to vote on 100% unverifiable touchscreen type systems. We will never, ever be able to verify a single one of those votes to know if it was counted accurately by the tabulator. 100% impossible to verify that any touchscreen vote has ever recorded any vote accurately during any election. But on the paper ballots, we got those, so count them. All I want to know, and all, frankly, both the supporters and the opponents of these candidates in Kentucky deserve to know is, were their votes counted and counted accurately? That's not too much to ask. And what happens is these questions persist and they get worse. And now we're seeing questions in Ohio. And this is where, and this is one of the things that has made today's show change so many times. Throughout the day, as I was doing reporting on this, as I was talking to the Ohio Secretary of State's office, trying desperately to make sense of numbers, which suggest at least that the results in at least one of the initiatives on the ballot in the great Buckeye State, the great state of Ohio, in at least one of the initiatives, this one concerning the marijuana initiatives, that the votes were flipped from yes to no or vice versa. At least that's what some evidence shows that was reported by some friends of mine, some great reporters, who I've also been talking to throughout the day as I'm trying to make sense of this. So were the ballots flipped? By the way, according to the results reported by the Secretary of State, the initiative to legalize marijuana in Ohio lost, and it lost big time by a 2-1 margin. Huge results, huge defeat. If the results, as reported by the electronic voting systems, electronic voting and tabulation systems, if those results are correct. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break and we will come back with what we've got, what we've found out, what the screenshots from election night show us, and we'll try to make sense of it. And by the way, I think when I started today's program, I was angry. I think I'm even angrier now, because the idea that it is so difficult to figure out our elections, to figure out if we can have confidence in the results as reported, the idea that it is so difficult in what we like to pretend is the world's greatest democracy is absolutely a debacle. I think what we've got here is the world's greatest debacle. That's a little bit closer to what we actually have. I'll explain why and more after this break. You're listening to The Bradcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Stay tuned.
What is known? And the evidence is clear. I'm not alone. Here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter anymore.
Yeah, it does. It does matter.
And is not worth fighting for.
And yes, it's still worth fighting for. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from Bradblog.com. You know, I use that song all the time. All the time on this program. By Victoria Parks, and I don't usually get time to give her credit for that, but that's by Victoria Parks. She wrote that after the 2004 election in Ohio, where, you know, people were saying, well, you know what, my vote doesn't matter anymore because they can flip the elections with impunity. Look what they did in 2000 in Florida. Look what they did in Ohio in 2004. And so why should I even vote? But my vote doesn't matter. And I'm sorry, I have to say it all the time. Yeah, your vote does matter. If you don't vote, nobody has got to steal it from you. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. And I'm going to talk about Ohio a little bit more in a moment. Because the fact is, you know, Republicans, they don't want you to vote. They just don't want you to vote. Governor Christie does not want you to vote. Chris Christie in New Jersey, where last week just 21% of voters came out to vote in the Garden State. And in the 2014 midterm elections, that was the one that Chris Christie won, just 30% of the state's eligible voters went to vote. Now it was down to 21. And so there was a bill called the New Jersey Democracy Act that would have made it easier for people to vote, easier for people to get registered to vote. It's been sitting on Chris Christie's desk. It would expand early voting. It would allow for online voter registration, which unlike online voting, online voter registration is a good idea and can be done securely. And it would automatically register eligible voters when they got a driver's license, unless they say, no, we don't want to be registered to vote. So when they go to get a driver's license, they would automatically become registered. But Chris Christie vetoed it. He vetoed the bill. Chris Christie, as the New York Times writes, doesn't want your vote. It's true. He doesn't want you to vote. Republicans don't want you to vote. They do better when you don't vote. So if you think your vote doesn't matter anymore, Well, I would argue otherwise, but you would be in the same camp with the Republicans who say they don't want you to vote either. And by the way, in 2013, yeah, it was Christie in 2013, he set a state record during his reelection for the lowest turnout in a race for governor. And then he vetoed the bill, and he's claiming, oh, it's going to make it easier for voter fraud to happen. Never mind, there's no such evidence that it would make voter fraud easier to happen, or that it's happening in New Jersey via, you know, registration at the DMV, which is what would happen here if he hadn't vetoed this bill. New Jerseyans support this reform by big margins, and it's going to be on the ballot next year, apparently, or they're considering putting it on the ballot in New Jersey next year since Governor Chris Christie vetoed it. Doesn't want you to vote. He said, I don't think that people ought to be automatically registered to vote. That's a direct quote. He said that on his radio show in over the summer. Is it really too much to ask for someone to fill out a form? Well, they have to fill out a form when they go to get their license, when they go to apply for a driver's license. So they're already doing that. And then they would be registered to vote. But, you know, he's making stuff up because he doesn't want people to vote. So with all of that in mind, back to Ohio. Back to Ohio, where Steve Rosenfeld from Alternate writes over the weekend, new evidence emerges of vote counting chicanery in Ohio pot ballot initiative. And Rosenfeld, who's a friend, Bob Fitrakis, Harvey Wasserman, all from Ohio, who did yeoman's work in Ohio back in 2004. And that was one of the reasons I mentioned Victoria Parks, because we're going back to 2004 here. And questions about the results and questions about the Republican Secretary of State and what they are reporting and what they are not reporting. And you may have seen this story at Alternet, at Raw Story today. Concerns about the results in the pot initiative, the marijuana initiative, issue three on the ballot last Tuesday, November 3rd in Ohio. And the screenshots that were sent, I think, into Bob Fitrakis, but in any event, they all ended up running this over at the Columbus Free Press and over at Alternate and Raw Story and so forth. And here's what the screenshot shows. And this is, I've told, as a matter of fact, just the day before the election last week, I told you, take screenshots throughout the night as you're seeing results come in. Take screenshots and date stamp them so you know what time they came in, because a lot of times results change from the time we see them to later on when they're reported. And sure enough, apparently people are taking me or others up on this and getting screenshots, and they got screenshots. And one of the screenshots from WHIO, a TV station in Dayton, TV station in Dayton, WHIO TV, screenshot shows with 39% of the vote in, the marijuana initiative was passing with 65% of the vote, 65-35, had 969,000 votes as of when 39% of the vote was in. Then, a little bit later, when 45% of the vote was in, the yes votes, which had been 969,000, went down by 300,000 votes.
Wait, say that again?
Yes, that's right. The yes votes, there was 969,000. And then a few minutes later, 614,000 yes votes. So the yes went down by 300,000 votes.
How does the count
between,
go backwards?
Well, I'll explain. Well, somebody's got to explain. So 39% of precincts reporting, and then 45% of precincts reporting. We've got screenshots from both, and the results went backwards. Seemingly impossible numbers, as you point out, Desi Doyen. Also on issue one, seemingly impossible numbers. This was a redistricting of state legislative districts. It was election reform, the way that these election districts are drawn up in the state of Ohio. Apparently, when 39% of the vote was in, There were almost 1 million people against this initiative. 990,000 Ohioans said no, according to WHIO on election night. 990,000 were against issue one. Then a few minutes later, with 49% reporting, just under 500,000 said no. So the numbers went down by 500,000 as the night went on. Again, impossible numbers going backwards. Something is amiss, one would think. Issue two stayed sort of fine, and I don't think flipped throughout the night, according to these screenshots. But if these screenshots from WHIO can be trusted, something is wrong. Numbers, the yes-no values for this marijuana initiative seems to have flipped, and the yes-no value seems to have flipped for issue one. The marijuana initiative ended up losing, by the way, almost 2-1. It lost by huge margins, as reported ultimately by the Ohio Secretary of State, Republican John Husted. Issue one, the reform, the election reform initiative, that ended up passing. So what the hell happened here? Is somebody gaming the system? Is this evidence of fraud? Did somebody not want this Ohio ballot ballot initiative to pass? Now, there were, by the way, the Ohio pot initiative to legalize marijuana was not beloved by even by marijuana supporters, because it would have set up an oligopoly. Essentially, 10 wealthy businessmen would be the only people, a monopoly, a 10-person monopoly. These 10 people would be the only ones who would get licensed to grow and sell marijuana in the state of Ohio. And they were the same ones who actually put this initiative on the ballot. They stand to make billions had this passed. So it was not really a great initiative for pot lovers out there. It would have made it legal, but it would have also corporatized it immediately. That said, the way the numbers happen, the way what we see in these screenshots begs an explanation. And there were similarly strange numbers in screenshots from another site as well that Rosenfeld reported over at Alternet over the weekend. So I was looking at these numbers, trying to figure out what the hell is going on, talking to Rosenfeld, talking to Bob Fitrakis, trying to understand where these screenshots came from. In any event, that's what they reported over the weekend, these impossible numbers. And I started hearing from people, hey, there's fraud in Ohio. This is evidence of fraud in Ohio. Well, maybe, maybe not. They claim that these numbers at WHIO and this other media outlet, which is not identified here, this screenshot is not identified, that they were coming from the Board of Elections, or at least from the Secretary of State's office, John Husted. From his office, and they were basically just they were wired in to the Secretary of State's, and they were the Secretary of State's numbers, and they were running them on their website. Well, I called the Secretary of State and got in touch not with John Husted himself, but with his communications director, Matt McClellan. He was aware of this issue, was aware of the numbers as reported at WHIO and this other outlet, and says that those people, that he actually spoke with the folks at WHIO, and that they were covering results on election night, that both of the outlets were operated by Cox Media, and that it was a problem on their end that they were not, in fact, taking numbers from the Secretary of State that night. Matt McClellan of the Secretary of State's office tells me that someone was manually entering in the data into those websites, and when they noticed the mistake, that they made a correction. He says he talked with somebody over at Cox Media. He says, and I'll just read some of these direct quotes from my notes from talking to him earlier today. In Ohio, Secretary of State, first off, the screenshots aren't from our website. They don't provide screenshots from our office in this report. He's talking about the report from Fitrakis and Wasserman and Rosenfeld, all of whom have been on this show throughout the years, by the way, friends. He says they don't provide screenshots from our office. Our numbers stayed consistent throughout the night. So he says issue one and two was passing all night, and number three was failing. Stayed that way the entire night, Matt McClellan says. He says, at no point throughout the night did you see a flip on our website. Our results didn't change throughout the night, other than small margins here or there. He tells me that he talked to the people at Cox Communications, Cox Media. He says, I talked to them, and they said it was a hand-keying error on their end. He said that McClellan said that we, the Secretary of State's office, made a feed available, but ultimately that's at the discretion of the media outlets as to how they get the results. Some folks use the AP feed. Some folks use Secretary of State. He says, from our end, there were no issues coming in from our site. We went back, he says, and double-checked to make sure it was an entry issue on their end. Human error. That's what the Ohio Secretary of State says about what was reported at WHIO on election night, live, and this other outlet, which is not identified, but which the Secretary of State says is another Cox Media outlet. No fraud, nothing to worry about, says the Ohio Secretary of State, who, by the way, did not support that POT initiative. Who's right? Who's wrong? Who's got it right? I don't know. And that's one of the reasons throughout the day this show has changed so many times as I have been trying to make sense of it. Now, I spoke with Bob Fitrakis just before going on air here. And Bob tells me that he had he's got some tracking numbers that say that the marijuana initiative, rather than losing 2-1, it should have passed by 2-1. It should have been supported by 2-1, at least according to some of the, once again, the pre-election numbers. He had some Zogby tracking numbers he was looking at from October 18. That's mid-month, and that's, you know, a couple of weeks before the election actually happened. But in that case, those Zogby numbers for issue 3 said 52% support it, 23 are opposed, so that's almost 2-1, and 24% were not sure. Bob says that big money was in favor of the initiative, that they were the ones who had the money on the air in Ohio, that the opposition to issue 3 had very little money, very few TV ads. And so that when you had mid-month 2-1 support for this marijuana initiative, that would sync up with 2-1 support on election night. Unless the results were flipped, unless they were simply flipped, unless yes was flipped to no, no was flipped to yes by someone, somewhere, somehow, inside the system, outside the system, inside the Secretary of State's office, a hacker, who knows? We don't know, and we don't know that it happened. And all of this mess is thanks to the fact that we don't publicly count elections in this country, that we rely on touchscreen voting systems, and we rely on paper ballots, hand-marked, but counted by computers, and we simply don't know. So anyway, over the weekend, they were reporting that this suggests there was fraud in the election last week in Ohio. Maybe it does. The Ohio Secretary of State says, no, it doesn't. Our information on our website stayed the same the whole night. Now, I haven't been able to find the results, a timeline for the results on their website. As a matter of fact, just before I came on air, I wanted to see what their final numbers were, or at least the unofficial numbers. They don't certify the race. They're canvassing, making sure they got everything right. Later this month, they'll certify them. So I wasn't able to find them, frankly, over at the Secretary of State's website. But more importantly, I was interested in the timeline throughout the night. What did their numbers look like at the Secretary of State's website throughout the night? And Matt McClellan, the communications director there, tells me they don't have that. They don't have their own screenshots. I don't know if it could be reconstructed to figure that out, but we're all left to guess. Later numbers, Fitrakis tells me he has tracking numbers from the Kitchen Group, which he says is also well-respected. And by the way, Bob Fitrakis is an attorney. He's run for office. He's a journalist. He's, frankly, an expert in Ohio. This guy knows more about, he's an encyclopedia of Ohio politics going back decades. Love talking to him. In any event, he cited this the Kitchen Group, which says on issue 3, again, the marijuana initiative, just days before the election, well, October 23, so a little bit later in the month, 45 support the initiative, 43 oppose the initiative. But, he says, among likely voters in that same tracking poll, it was 49-26. Again, 2-1. 2-1. Among likely voters, or whoever was considered to be a likely voter in that poll. 2-1, it should pass, and instead, 2-1, it reportedly lost. Fetrakis tells me that the tracking polls, he believes, suggest more that the results were flipped than not flipped, meaning flipped by someone, or even something. The failed, the voting machines that fail all the time. Go to bradblog.com. Look up Palm Beach County 2012. I think it's, I'm losing track now. 12 or, I think it's 2012, yeah. When elections in Palm Beach County, three elections were announced completely incorrectly. And they went back and they did a hand count and they found that two of the people announced as winners by the computers actually lost their race. And they only found that out thanks to a hand count, thanks to the sharp-eyed supervisor of elections down there in Palm Beach County, Miami, Florida. And then we found out from the company that made those machines are used all over the country, made by Sequoia, which is now owned by Dominion, that all of the machines that were made by Sequoia all had the same bug that potentially led to inaccurate results like those found in Palm Beach. This happens all the time. So it could be an accident as well. It could just be failure somewhere along the line. We don't know. So Fetrakis says, in his opinion, for whatever that's worth, he believes they were flipped, or at least the evidence, according to the tracking polls, suggests that they would have had to have been flipped. He also says that if Cox Media is manually keying in their results, as the Ohio Secretary of State tells me, tells the broadcast, tells bradblog.com today, Fetrakis says they need to stop doing that, he says, because it's absurd. He said, why would you key in manually unless you want mistakes? That's his opinion. I don't know. But it does look like that. It does look like it was simply a mistake. Well, I can't say it was a mistake. Something went wrong. But it was at one point yes to no for issue 3, according to the screenshot. Yes to no, 65-35%. And then it was no to yes by that same margin, 65-35% in Ohio. This is where we've gotten to. This is where we've gotten to. Republicans don't want you to vote. Democrats don't want to investigate this stuff at all for reasons that I don't understand. We had last week or a week or two ago, Ray Beiersdorfer from Ohio, speaking of Ohio, who wanted a hand count of the ballots. There was an initiative in Mahoning County, Ohio, an anti-fracking initiative, which he felt in 2014 should have passed, according to a poll that his group took, an exit poll that his group took, at least a post-election poll. And yet it lost by huge numbers. And he went to the election Board of Elections in Mahoning County and said, can we get a hand count? And they freaked out. They freaked out. The Democrat, Des, do you have that? Andy, this is the Democrat on the Board of Elections in Mahoning County after Ray Beiersdorfer asked them, hey, please, can we get a hand count of the paper ballots next time? And the guy went nuts.
You just basically accused this board of criminal behavior. No one in this board condones, allows, or supports, or in any way would do anything to impugn the election results. For you to accuse this board that somehow we all conspired to make sure that your issue lost is just ridiculous.
Okay, now, and I'm not he didn't... He didn't actually, and I'm not going to sit there and take it, he goes on and on, and let you accuse us of rigging the election. Ray Beiersdorfer never did that. Ray Beiersdorfer said, I would just like to have this hand counted so we can know, so the questions can go away. And that was the Democrat responding to Ray Beiersdorfer, an a geologist, a guy who supports the anti-fracking initiative, which, by the way, this time lost by a mere 345 votes in Mahoning County. 345 votes out of thousands cast. At least it reportedly lost. They're going to now try to pay. Citizens are being forced to pay for a recount in that race. Because they don't know. They can't support, they can't trust what is reported by these computers. Not because anyone is stealing elections necessarily, but because the numbers are sometimes simply wrong. Or because they are stealing elections. Who knows? We don't know unless we count the ballots. That was a Democrat going crazy. Tom Hartman was talking about this same issue earlier today. He was citing our reporting on this. And he, do we have, we got time for this. He explains, and this is a question that's asked to me all the time, why don't Democrats take action to do something about this if they are so concerned about election results? Well, maybe they're not concerned. Here was what Tom Hartman said on his program today about when he was speaking with some Democrats out in Washington, D.C. about exactly this issue. Why don't they investigate? Why don't they hand count paper ballots instead?
Now, here's the deal. I can tell you from being here in D.C. for the last 5-6 years and you know, hanging out at more than a couple of cocktail parties with Democratic Party officials or Democratic consultants, that this is an issue that no Democrat is willing to bring up out loud. No Democrat will bring this up because, and here's the logic. And I actually, a Democratic consultant whose name you would recognize laid this out for me about 6 years ago and said, this is why. And I have every reason to believe that the story that he told me is the story that the whole Democratic Party is telling itself. If we were to investigate election fraud, not voter fraud, not individual voters voting in two states, like Kris Kobach busted these three 60-year-olds, 60-plus-year-olds in Kansas. But if you're looking at actual election fraud, where somebody steals the election, not a vote, but the entire election. If you are looking at election fraud, there is a long and frankly rather frightening history of it in the United States, probably going back to our earliest elections, ballot stuffing ballot boxes, voting machines. I mean, you know, it's just, this is a long time thing. But the story that the Democrats tell themselves is that if we start talking about election fraud, that Democratic voters will say to themselves, you know, that electronic machine might just flip my vote, so why should I even bother? I don't think I'll even show up to vote. The Democratic consultants are afraid that if Democrats think that the machines are rigged, they won't show up to vote. Now, I disagree. I think that if Democrats think that the machines are rigged, they'll show up and they'll start asking a lot of questions about the machines. They'll start putting heat on people. They'll start taking pictures of their vote. They'll start demanding a paper trail, an audit, the, you know, vote in paper, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not what the elected politicians and the Democratic Party officials believe.
No, it's not. And I can confirm that. That was Hartman today covering some of our work on Kentucky and responding to why it is that Democrats don't take some action here. They are afraid, and I would add to that, not only are they afraid it's going to keep people from voting, they're also afraid that people are going to call them conspiracy theorists, tinfoil hat wearers, you know, as we've seen people calling me concerning Kentucky, when all I'm saying is count the goddamn ballots. I'm not saying it was stolen. I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm saying that evidence is disturbing, that the ballots haven't been verified, so count them. But I have heard that from Democratic officials, and as Tom suggests, the evidence that I've heard from voters is quite different. When they hear about their electoral system, they want to get out there. They want to watch. They want to make damn sure that their vote is counted accurately. They want to fight for their vote. They don't want to throw up their hands and give up. The more they learn about this situation, the angrier they get, the more they want to fight for their democracy. And by the way, that's not just Democrats. That's Republicans as well. Talk to Ron Paul supporters from 4 and 8 years ago. They were some of the best people demanding ballots to actually be publicly counted. The more people learn about how easy it is to flip an election with these machines, the more they want to get rid of them and the more they want to participate in their democracy and get it right. Democrats are absolutely wrong if they don't want to investigate and go to a transparent system. They are absolutely wrong. I've also heard them say, well, hey, these machines couldn't be that bad. They got me elected, didn't they? And that's what they think. All right, just to close a loop here, WHIO, that TV station in Dayton that the Secretary of State of Ohio says made a mistake on election night. I have not yet heard back from them. I've got a call into WHIO. I hope to hear from them so that they can confirm that it was their mistake that they made, which is what the Ohio Secretary of State currently claims. I can't confirm that. I'm doing my best to report this thing out as we go. Really, it shouldn't be this hard. All right, a quick break and we're back with some Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman. This is your broadcast. Okay, Desi Doyen, are you going to cheer me up with today's Green News Report?
Well, I hope so. Actually, it's always nice to see fossil fuels go through a bit of a
go
bump.
Go through hell, yes, I know. and actually, I don't need cheering up. I'm fine. It's just so frustrating. It shouldn't be this difficult. If you want to help, by the way, go on over, search the Googles for change.org and Kentucky, what was the, and thanks to whoever is Concerned Kentucky Residents. So search for Concerned Kentucky Residents at change.org. And you can sign the Kentucky demands a public hand count of every ballot that was cast for governor on November 3rd. Where are we at now? There is currently, I didn't even know about this, and already 10,613 supporters have signed on to that. Make your voice heard any way you can, any way and every way you can. We will be covering this, I suspect, as things move forward. I'm trying to get on to other things, but it ain't easy. Tomorrow night, of course, our debate coverage. Anyway, for now, let's get to it. Man, our latest Green News Report.
We're going to have to keep some fossil fuels in the ground rather than burn them.
A bad week for fossil fuels. Obama rejects Keystone XL pipeline. Peabody Coal caught lying to the public about climate change. ExxonMobil now under investigation for what it knew and when it knew it. Plus,
SeaWorld is phasing out the theatrical killer whale show.
Amid backlash, SeaWorld San Diego finally responds to critics.
Fossil fuels, no good, very bad week, and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Who spends money on energy prices? It is disproportionately affecting minority and low-income families.
Very convenient that the conservatives are so concerned about the poor on the one issue where it benefits the Koch brothers.
Imagine that. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, as the planet is heating up, so too are the legal consequences, it seems, for the fossil fuel industry.
Yeah, it's been a very, very interesting couple of days for big fossil fuels. First, Keystone XL is dead.
The State Department has decided that the Keystone XL pipeline would not serve the national interests of the United States. I agree with that decision.
That was President Obama rejecting a permit for the controversial proposed Keystone XL pipeline on Friday. Obama cited climate change as his primary reason for rejecting that cross-border permit.
America is now a global leader when it comes to taking serious action to fight climate change. And frankly, approving this project would have undercut that global leadership. Today, we're continuing to lead by example. Because ultimately, if we're going to prevent large parts of this earth from becoming not only inhospitable, but uninhabitable in our lifetimes, we're going to have to
keep some fossil fuels in the ground rather than burn them.
President Obama's decision now adds momentum to the UN climate talks coming up in December in a few weeks. He says he will attend personally.
Well, that's a huge deal. It's a huge, largely symbolic deal, I think, in regard to the Keystone XL pipeline. But I think most important is that it sends a message to organizers and advocates and activists out there that if you organize, get things together, yes, you can take on the most powerful industry in the history of civilization. Way to go, activists.
Also taking on the most powerful industry in the history of civilization, New York State. A 2-year investigation by New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman has found Peabody Coal, the world's largest coal company, misled its investors about how regulations to fight climate change could hurt the coal industry. That's a violation of a New York State law that protects investors from fraud. In a settlement announced Monday, the first of its kind against a fossil fuel company, Peabody Coal will pay no fines and admit no wrongdoing, but it must amend its shareholder documents from the past and in the future to reflect the actual science of climate change.
So it's actually costing them nothing? No money? No nothing?
That's right.
So what kind of accountability is that?
Not much, activists note, but it does require them to not lie about it in the future.
Wow. Color me unimpressed with Eric Schneiderman in that case.
But wait, there is more. Attorney General Schneiderman on Friday went further. He has subpoenaed oil giant ExxonMobil following revelations that Exxon's management knew about the dangers of climate change as early as 1977, yet funded a climate science denial network to mislead the public and investors about climate change. Eric Schneiderman's investigation into Exxon seeks information and documents to find out exactly what Exxon knew and when it knew it, and if it broke the law about lying to investors.
At the end of which, he may write them a sternly worded note?
That may be the case.
Sounds like we need the Department of Justice in on this, because somebody needs to be held accountable for defrauding the public.
Meanwhile, in other news, SeaWorld announced on Monday it will end its theatrical shows featuring orcas performing tricks. SeaWorld executives announced they will phase out the killer whale show at the San Diego facility next year and replace it with a new, quote, informative experience in a more natural setting. The move comes after public backlash sparked by the documentary film Blackfish, showing orca abuse in captivity, that harmed ticket sales. Plus, California officials last month banned SeaWorld from breeding any more killer whales in captivity. But the show is being phased out at only one of SeaWorld's facilities.
Naturally.
Finally, 2015 continues to break records for extreme weather. 1 week ago, the Arab nation of Yemen was hit with its first ever hurricane in recorded history. Now another hurricane has made landfall in the same war-torn region. That's two hurricane-strength cyclones in 1 week where none had been recorded before, thanks to record warm ocean temperatures.
Other than that, why worry? For much more on all of the stories we covered today and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
Storm clouds gathering. Man. Hey, my thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to our booking goddess, Cynthia Cohn. If you missed any portion of today's program, you can download it at bradblog.com or over at iTunes. Drop me email if you have any thoughts, concerns, or screenshots that you think I should see. My email address is bradcast@bradblog.com. And you can follow us on the Twitters and the Facebooks at TheBradBlog. All right, that's it. Live post-debate coverage tomorrow with Digby and Dayan and maybe your calls. You're not going to want to miss that. Until then, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.